On the first day of the week, the third day of his passion, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Today is his day. In the Roman Missal, the entrance antiphon for today is, I am risen, and I am always with you, alleluia. You have placed your hand upon me, alleluia. Your wisdom has been shown to be the most wonderful, alleluia, alleluia. The glorious resurrection of the Lord is the key to interpreting his whole life and the ground, the very ground of our faith. Without this victory over death, says St. Paul, all our preaching would be useless and our faith in vain. The resurrection of the Lord is a central reality of the Catholic faith and has been preached as such since the very beginning of Christianity. Many great historical figures have led exemplary lives, taught wise doctrines, and even died for the truth. But only one has risen again. Think about it. Among the vast array of humanity's greatest heroes, only about Jesus Christ can we say he rose again on the third day in fulfillment of the scriptures. Only in Christ's resurrection do goodness and power finally unite. Only in Christ's resurrection does love prove that it is stronger than death. In Christ and in his resurrection, a wildly new hope dawns for all mankind. The hope that if we stay united to him through faith and grace, we will rise with him, rise from our very graves, and live with him forever within the love of the most holy Trinity. No one else offers such a hope, because no one else has risen from the dead to be able to offer it, only our Lord. The resurrection is the definitive watershed in the history of religions. It makes Christianity absolutely unique. In the resurrection, reality becomes more wonderful than myth. Only the reality of the resurrection can explain the reality of the history of our church. A few weak, non-influential, and uneducated fishermen from Galilee, frightened out of their wits when Jesus was arrested and executed, suddenly become world travelers, phenomenally successful preachers, and valiant martyrs. And the church they planted continues to spread after they die, holding fast to the exact same doctrine they preached, century after century, in nation after nation. Only the abiding presence of the Lord can explain this, and only the resurrection explains the abiding presence of the Lord. This is what makes us as Christians different. This is our hope. If Christ had not risen from the dead, what good would his suffering have meant for us? What good would his love, symbolized by his suffering, have been if evil and death had been able to extinguish it? Only the bright light of the resurrection gives meaning to the blood-stained darkness of the cross. We can only endure our personal Good Fridays because we know that Easter Sunday is right around the corner. The great Renaissance artist Michelangelo expressed this in a small, little-known marble sculpture of the resurrected Christ that can be seen today in Rome in the church of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva. The figure of Christ in this sculpture is glorious. He stands firm but not stiff. He is young, muscular, confident, and energetic, like a boxer before a fight or a soldier coming home after a victorious battle. The risen Lord stands alone. The only other figure in the sculpture is his cross. He holds it in his left arm. It is small, almost puny. It is much too small to have been used to crucify him. It's just a flimsy little wooden cross. He holds it as easily as we would hold a bouquet of flowers. And that's the whole point of this work of art. The life-giving power of the risen Lord has overwhelmed the deathly power of the cross. That is what Easter Sunday does for us. That is what the resurrection does for us. It makes the light of hope shine so brightly in our lives that it shrinks our crosses down to size. We can bear them now and with joy because we know that they're leading us toward the glorious victory of the resurrection. The resurrection is our hope. Today we should relish this joy of Easter, thanking God for letting us share in this victory, for giving us this hope. But we shouldn't just stop there. Let's not just enjoy Easter, we must allow it to change our lives. Christ's resurrection is not just a nice idea, it is the power of eternal life at work in us. Why not do something for the 8 weeks of the Easter season to plug into that power? Almost every one of us made an effort to live Lent in a special way. Most likely, we gave something up for Lent, or we might have dedicated more time to prayer or given more of our time and money for a special purpose. That was a practical way to give the special graces that God sends during Lent some room to work within our souls. So if we gave something up as a way to help us live the penitential season of Lent, why not take something up as a way to help us to live the joyful season of Easter? In the second reading, St. Paul encouraged us to clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why don't we make an Easter resolution that will help us to do that? Help us to move forward with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth that will help us keep in mind the eternal life in Christ that is waiting for us if we remain faithful to Him. It could be something very simple, like inviting a friend or family member who has forgotten about Christ's victory to come to Mass with you on Sundays and then inviting them over for brunch. Or it could be something like watching a classic movie together as a family each Sunday between now and Pentecost, a joyful, uplifting movie with Catholic values. If you do an internet search for the 50 best Catholic movies, you'll get a great list. Or you might go into our subscription of Formed and watch a video of your patron saint. Or you might want to have a special outing or get together with friends on Fridays. Or change up your life and come to Saturday morning Mass at 8 a.m. and plan a special outing with other Catholic families for that morning. Or you might take some time each evening to reread some of your favorite Catholic books, the ones that stir up joy within your soul and lift them up to our Savior. If we ask the Holy Spirit to give us some ideas, He will speak to us. He just needs us to decide to let Easter make a difference in our lives the way that it should. Our souls need that as much as they needed the time of penance and contrition that we lived during Lent. Otherwise, we'll never be strong enough to carry our crosses, and they will overwhelm us instead of inspiring us. Undoubtedly, there is plenty of darkness in this present world. We must look to the light, look to the empty tomb, look to the resurrection. The Church is a wise mother in giving us 6 weeks of Lent and 8 weeks of Easter. Today, as we receive the risen Lord in the Eucharist, may we promise Him that we will find a way to benefit from the Church's wisdom.